We waited until we had the 18-month follow-up on pretty much everybody that was in the cardiac safety study, because recoverability is clearly an important part of it. Certainly, you need to identify the rates of toxicity and the severity, but with the appreciation that cardiotoxicity is, to a large degree, reversible, we think, that, again, is an important component to it. So we have finished reanalyzing that data set. And basically what we are seeing is that in patients receiving Herceptin, we continue to have around a 4.5% incidence of symptomatic heart failure in the Herceptin arm, and around a 1% or so, a little bit less than 1% in the control arm. So we're less than the 4% difference that we felt like we needed to see. We have found that about 25% of patients aren't completing the full year of Herceptin, and most of those are because of asymptomatic drops that mandate discontinuation.
Drops in ejection fraction?
Yeah. Roughly about two-thirds of the patients who didn't complete the year of therapy were because of asymptomatic drops. It's about 68 out of 135 patients. We do see about 4% of patients who received Herceptin are still taking medications to manage heart failure. They're not symptomatic. We track the patients very carefully, following up every 6 months to see, are their symptoms persisting? Are they still on medication? Have they had more ejection fractions? Things like that. And we only have one of the patients who developed symptoms still symptomatic. And if you look at the number of patients who have ejection fractions less than 50, out at 18 months, it's about 9.5% in the Herceptin arm, but it's about 4.5% in the control arm. So that's something that we've learned from the study, that sequential AC Taxol has some impact on the cardiac function long term, and that's why the control arm is so critical in the trial, so you have that back and forth comparison.
What are you able to say right now in terms of reversibility for both groups, the ejection fraction drop and the clinical cardiac?
Yeah, I mean, clearly there is a very substantial improvement across the board in ejection fractions, with virtually everybody moving in the direction back towards baseline where you'd like to see them. It's really easiest to see it graphically. You know, it's kind of like there's just a slight shift downward of the whole distribution, with, as I said, a small number of patients in the 40 to 50% range, and just a couple of patients in the upper 30s. But again, a lot of those, when you look at the data sets, those people who aren't quite up to 40 are sort of the last ones who had events, who haven't had time yet. What we tend to see with time, that these ejection fractions do recover substantially.